Well, back in the 1990s, I was living in Sydney, and on more than one occasion, I went to a men's convention held at the Katoomba Convention Centre campsite up in the Blue Mountains. Now, as you might imagine, there are a lot of blokes coming from Sydney that went to this convention. I remember the talks were often very good, with keynote speakers, they were very encouraging. But the singing was incredible. There were at least 2,000 blokes in an auditorium, all singing together in full voice. It's not something I get to experience very often, but it was incredibly powerful, the kind of thing that just gives you goosebumps as everyone hits that first chorus in full voice. But it's actually not that often that Australians sing in public. You may have noticed this over the years. In fact, church is one of the few places where it happens regularly. Singing has always been a big part of the Christian faith. And, a little sort of snippet, a little known fact is that Sunday church is still the largest public gathering across Australia. Despite all of the different sporting events that happen, you know, throughout the year and so on, church on Sunday is still the largest public gathering in Australia. And so singing, which has always been a big part of the Christian faith, particularly since the Reformation, it's actually interesting that most Christians since the Reformation own two books, a Bible and a hymn book of some kind, probably. Singing is actually one of God's gifts. Now, God could have made us without the ability to sing. There are plenty of other creatures in creation that can't sing, but he didn't. He has made us. He has created us so that we can sing. It's a good gift. Singing actually affects us more than just speaking. When we sing and when others sing, we're affected deeply. God's made us in a way that singing somehow engages our whole being, physically, intellectually, but most of all, it engages our hearts. Singing is powerful. And because it's so powerful, we actually need to be a bit careful about how we use singing. You see, you can use singing for the wrong purpose. This happened with, say, Soviet propaganda during the war years. They'd sing songs, propaganda. Or perhaps you might have experienced cruel teasing songs that kids made up in the playground at school. See, all God's gifts can be misused. Songs can be about anything, can't they? But they're often about love. And so as Christians, we sing for a purpose. Ultimately, we're made to sing to God. We're made to sing for God and about God. And it's all for his glory. We sing about our love for God and his love for us. We're going to, how do you say, take a look at two of the biggest reasons for Christians to sing. Firstly, Christians sing because God is worth singing about. We don't have any, you know, scientific data to back that up, of course, but most commonly it's commanded in the Bible that we should sing about God and what he's done, to praise the Lord. In fact, the first recorded song in the Bible is in Exodus 15. Exodus 15. Now, does anyone know where that where that is in the Bible, yes. Yes, just after they've crossed the Dead Sea, God rescues his people out of slavery in Egypt. He saves them through the Red Sea, and their response is to sing the song of Moses and of Miriam. Listen to what they sing. Exodus 15 from verse 1. Then Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. Both horse and driver he has hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him, my Father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he has hurled into the sea. The best of Pharaoh's officers are drowned in the Red Sea. The deep waters have covered them. They sank to the depths like a stone. Your right hand, Lord, was majestic in power. Your right hand, Lord, shattered the enemy. These people are praising God because he's rescued them from the Egyptians. He's rescued them. Now, we don't know what the tune was, but it would be interesting to know what the tune was and how they sang it. But listen to how God is praised in the Psalms. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Some of these words might be familiar because we've just sung Psalm 96. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. Singing reminds us of who God is and what he's done for us. But singing God's praises isn't just for the here and now. It's also going to be a big part of our future. And Revelation 14, you can read these words. John says, then I looked, and there before me was the Lamb standing on Mount Zion. And with him 144,000 who had his name and his Father's name written on their foreheads. And I heard a sound from heaven like the roar of rushing waters and like a loud peal of thunder. But it wasn't a storm. Look at this. The sound I heard was like that of harpists playing their harps. There's just so many of them. And they sang a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders. They're singing in heaven. See, people have lots and lots of reasons to sing. But we've got more reason to sing than anyone else. God has done huge things for us, incredible things. Jesus has died and risen again. We've been redeemed from our slavery, not to Egypt, but slavery to sin. That leads to death. We have been rescued and redeemed. God is worth singing about because of what he's done. The rescued, if you like, sing about their rescuer and the way that they've been rescued. We sing about God's great love for us as his people. Secondly, our second big point is that singing disciples us by teaching us about God, by teaching us about his ways, and singing teaches us about the Christian life. Now, if you picture this at the end of Deuteronomy, Moses is about to die. This is at the other end of their journey, coming out of the wilderness. They've been in the wilderness 40 years. Moses is handing leadership of Israel over to Joshua. Joshua will take them into the promised land. And Moses writes down the law and gives instructions to all the people for the regular reading of the scriptures. But one of the last things that God commands him to do is to teach God's people a song. See, singing helps God's words to take a hold in our hearts. Isn't this song from the end of Deuteronomy? Deuteronomy 32. Moses came with Joshua, son of Nun, and spoke all the words of this song in the hearing of the people. When Moses finished reciting all these words to Israel, he said to them, "Take to heart all the words I've solemnly declared to you this day, so that you may command your children to obey carefully all the words of this law. They're not just idle words for you," says Moses. "They are your life. By them you will live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to possess." See here, song and singing goes hand in hand with reading the scriptures. It's a part of being God's people. Now, Paul, you might have noticed when Bruce read it for us, Paul gives very similar reasons to the New Testament church as he writes to the church in Colossae. "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit," spiritual songs, "singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Now you'll notice there in verse 16, we sing to one another with all wisdom, psalms, hymns, songs from the Spirit, but we also sing to God. We sing to God, but we're singing to one another as well, teaching and discipling each other as we sing. We teach younger generations. We teach ourselves, we remind ourselves. This is the gospel, if you like, in song. This year at our minister's retreat, just this last week, the guy organising it included music and song as part of our time together. It's a bit dark, it can sort of make us out there. Now, we'd never done this before. We all had to bring a song that we enjoyed singing at church recently. Yes, I am the shortest one in the picture. Thank you. Now, we all had to bring a song that we'd enjoyed singing at church recently. And believe it or not, we all bought a different song, but there were some great songs in amongst them. I even learnt a new one. But our time together this week was richer than usual, because at certain appropriate times, we all sang our favourite hymns together. It was great. It was really encouraging. See, God can speak to our hearts through music. In fact, singing, as we've said, disciples us. You might remember the words of that old hymn, "At the name of Jesus." At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess him, King of glory now. He is God the Saviour, he is Christ the Lord, ever to be worshipped, trusted and adored. singing disciples us. And repetition in song is fantastic for our memory. When we have music and words going with it, it somehow helps us to remember things better. Unfortunately, as you probably know, TV and radio advertisers have latched on to this over the years, haven't they? Short songs and catchy jingles are a major way that advertisers get people to remember a particular product. A really memorable tune can be massive for product sales. You think of the BCF ads, you know, the little catchy tunes that go with them, or AAMY or Amy, Lucky You're With Amy. Different commercials over the years, all working off this truth that music and song help us to remember things better. It's how God has created us. So there's, you know, a couple of the biggest reasons why we sing. God is worth singing about, and singing disciples us. It grows us in our relationship with God. So we've looked at why we sing, but here's some reflections on how we might go about doing it in a way that's edifying and uplifting. First of all, content does matter. When we sing together about the gospel and we're discipling one another, it's pretty important that we get it right. The words matter. They're to be faithful to the gospel truth. So we choose our songs carefully when we sing as God's people. And it's no surprise that a lot of our songs, our music, include words directly from the scriptures. But also, as we've seen, singing helps us disciple others, particularly the younger generation. You know, as an example, as we all know, Colin Buchanan's songs and memory verses, they're almost addictive, aren't they? They stick. So if I said, "We all like sheep have gone astray," what would you say? There you go, exactly. Isaiah 53:6, it's hard to forget because of that. You know, you might be singing in the car, playing music on the radio, singing with family at the dining table if you do that. It teaches us the truths of God's word. It's also part of our evangelism to our community. So many people know Christmas carols without even realizing it. They know the words. We sing at Sunday school. We sing during our RI classes sometimes. Singing is a way of reaching out to people with the gospel. But we're also to sing in a way that encourages others because our hearts matter. So we actually prepare. This is one that we plan for as well. You know, over the years, we've certainly here in Billawheeler, we develop, how do you say, our songs for the term. There's a bit of a roster. People practice. The choir meets and practices. Our music team meets and practices. So that when it comes to singing, we're ready. We're reading God's word, we're praying, and that all goes hand in hand with singing. So we can sing joyfully and enthusiastically when we gather. Now, I think you're possibly aware of this truth, but not all of us are gifted singers. If you've seen some of the initial auditions for The Voice or Australia's Got Talent, you'll know that not everyone gets through to the second round. And our voices, you might have also noticed this, that Our voices can change over time, and we get better when we practice. We get better when we practice. A couple more observations. Music is the servant, if you like, not the master. Our primary emphasis is on singing, but instruments are used in the Bible extensively. All sorts of instruments, some of which I don't even know what they are, but they're described there in the Old Testament. Zithers. I'm not exactly sure what a zither is, or a, you know, but there's various musical instruments that are used to accompany our singing. But music is there to serve us. That's what our musicians tend to do. They serve us as a church, as ones who are gifted in this particular area, gifted by God. And lastly there, personal preferences are okay to have, but it's not all about me and it's not all about you. It's about us together as a unified family of God. See, we've all got our personal tastes in music. Some of us might like the Eagles or ABBA. Others might like Pink or Taylor Swift or Coldplay. Maybe even a modern band. the point is, our favourite music isn't all the same. But when we sing together, we're not always going to have our own preferences. But we sing together for family, for community, and for the Lord. And so that verse from Colossians 3:15 rings true, doesn't it? Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of the one body you were called to peace. So we shouldn't be fighting over music, should we? What a gift music and song is to us, to celebrate what we have in the Lord. We sing out the news of the gospel. We sing to God, and we sing to serve one another. And we're singing now, and we're singing into eternity. I'm going to finish by reading some words of a hymn that should be pretty familiar to you. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we'd first begun. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord, our Father in heaven, we do want to thank you for the ways in which you've blessed us and you've given us gifts for the uplifting and edifying of everyone in our church family. Lord, we thank you for our musicians, and we thank you for the gift of singing. We pray that in our church family we might be encouraged in this spiritual discipline, that we might sing with hearts of joy as we rejoice in what you've done for us by sending Jesus to die in our place on the cross. Lord, help us to remember that singing is a vital part of what it means to be a Christian. And help us to remember the things that we sing about in ways that strengthen us in our faith and our trust in you. Lord, thank you for this gift in Jesus' name. Amen.